always know the score. I mean, you're trying to win, right? No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. Hey guys, this is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, number 90. We reached that many episodes already. Recorded June the 2nd, 2018, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am your host, Ray Ray. NBA Finals is here, and that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Game 1, really, the NBA Finals. Well, to be frank, we didn't really talk too much about Game 1 of the NBA Finals. We just went on some sort of like, it's a mixture of whatever we can talk about in basketball. Shaq's hip-hop career, random 40-point games, stuff like that. And my guest's hatred of Kevin Durant. Well, not really hatred, because that's too strong of a word. Anyway, yeah, my guest is Bradley Geiser, famous on Twitter, writer on Sacktown Royalty. You've probably seen his tweets around if you're part of basketball Twitter. Great guy. Glad to have him on as a guest, and he's so good at winging it along with me, so I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's go ahead and get to Bradley Geiser. Here we go, one more time, everybody's feeling fine, here we go now.
Hi, this is Katie Forbes from Twitter, and you are listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
From Twitter? That's hilarious.
From Twitter, yep. Like that's like a... Like I'm like a celebrity, but instead it's a social platform with like millions of people on it.
Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 90, recorded June the 2nd, 2018. My guest, writer for Sacktown Royalty, and I'm surprised he doesn't have his own podcast yet, Bradley Geiser. You are so popular on Twitter, man, seriously.
Oh, thanks. I don't know why, but thanks.
Is it because, like, I don't know, like, you... You do the whole singing thing. what else? Like, great. I think your jokes are great. How's that?
I'll take it. I think I've been called the Jamie Foxx of Twitter. So
yeah, and you're actually also Chris Hemsworth, right? I mean, yeah, that's what I'm getting here. So cool. So tell us how you got into Sacktown Royalty, Sacktown's SB Nation site.
It started when we went through our second relocation drama 5 years ago now. Yeah. That's when I really started checking it, like, every day. Mm-hmm. And then I just started writing a joke post, basically Onion-style articles. And then Tom Ziller's middle finger to the rest of Sacktown Royalty right before he left was bringing me on.
Yeah, so is it fun right now to watch the NBA for you? Because the Kings, they now have the longest playoff drought in the NBA right now.
Oh, you kind of get used to it after, you know, 4 or 5 years, it becomes warm, and then it just kind of becomes funny. Right. Like, I've been saying a few years ago, I haven't done this hate yet, but I've done this on the team I love, where you just kind of don't let yourself get mad anymore. Everything.
Right, like, exactly.
They still test that, like, when they traded Boogie, I did not follow my own advice there, but, yeah, you just kind of get used to it, and you learn that it's funny to be miserable.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is funny. Like, sure, I'm a Lakers fan, if you didn't already know that. But
yeah,
they've been awful the last 5 years or so, right? So you just kind of laugh at it. And I'm not saying towards the Lakers, but, like, you know, it's just like watching a train. You know, that's how I see it.
And I always laugh when I see, like, Lakers fans or even Cavs fans getting ready for LeBron to leave again or something.
Yeah.
Like, already trying to make me feel bad for them. It's like... I'll butcher the line, but in The Dark Knight Rises, and Bane says, you think something about you love the darkness? I was born in it. I was raised inside of it. Right. Like, I want to see people who have seen 5 rings in the last 18 years complain about how hard they have it.
Right, exactly. Like honestly, like, if we take away the last 5 years, it's like the Lakers have a really great, like, probably the best run in the last 50 years or so. It's right? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fandom is funny. Like, I really think fans are funny. Like that with our favorite teams and whatnot. But then, it's like, the way... I don't know how far they would go to end their team. It's funny to me. Like, it's their... I mean... to some businesses, yeah, you get paid for it. Like, you write for them or whatever, you get paid for it, sure. But, like, some of them are just fans. It's like, they literally are ride or die, you know? It's crazy. crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ride or die can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Just, you know, we all have our ways of cheering for our teams.
Mm-hmm.
Some are less healthy than others.
Right. You see people burning jerseys for no reason at all sometimes.
I still don't quite understand why Jazz fans are so mad at Gordon Hayward. I didn't, there was like a weird thing where the news came out that he was signing there and then he wasn't signing there and then he was. But other than that, I don't understand the anger they have towards him and the jersey burning I saw and all that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's one guy who I judge a lot for the team he signed with, but overall, besides that one guy, I'm sure we'll do later, I don't act guys leaving their teams and whatnot. They're allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's not wait for that. Let's just talk about it now. So, I mean, I get it in a way that people are disgusted with this because it kind of kills competition.
Yeah, and kind of.
Kind of, yeah. As we saw on game one, apparently, if you have LeBron James, you can do anything. But Kevin Durant leaving for the Golden State Warriors, you've been very, very vocal about it ever since it started.
I have. Mm-hmm. I thought I was pretty nuanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no, my proudest moment in all this was in February. I think my first, like, official Kevin Durant joke about him joining the Warriors was February while he was still on the Thunder. Mm-hmm. I was watching the Oscars, and Mad Max was winning everything.
Right.
And this actually became even more relevant when Mad Max didn't win. But Mad winning everything, I said, if it keeps on winning, Kevin Durant's going to join this movie in the offseason. And it became the perfect metaphor. Like,
it did. It did.
Because I just knew Kevin Durant, I've liked Kevin Durant in the past, but there's been that little, that mentality he has always bothered me. So I knew as soon as I heard those rumors, I talked myself out of them, but I knew he was going to sign there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he did, it was the crack in the dam.
Kingdom Dollars?
Yeah. I can blame him. To me, it's, where's pride, man? LeBron didn't join the Celtics when he was losing to the Celtics. He made a team to join the Celtics. I would have loved if he would have joined a team to bring down the Warriors, but there's something just unprecedented to me about a guy who is the second best player in the world. I've never wavered on that other than when I joke about him being terrible. He's the second best player in the world. I still think he's better than Steph. I think some people disagree with me on that. But to me, about the second best player in the world having really no impact on whether they're content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he could have put it together. I think he could have joined any team, like even the Celtics, I think would have been interesting at the time, and made a team that would have been an interesting team that could eventually beat the Warriors. But he just joined them. That's wrong to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sort of defending him somewhat. But people judge players by championship ring, which is like the wrong culture these days because, like, oh, yeah, Magic Johnson has 5 rings and LeBron only has 3. Magic's better than LeBron. That sort of thing. And, you know, we always forget context in these. So, I guess that's what he's thinking. Like, oh, my career is not complete if I don't get a championship ring.
Yeah, I've never liked the rings argument because it's so contextual, you know.
Of course.
It's people always use it sarcastically. They say, like, oh, I guess Derek Fisher is better than LeBron, something like that. But there is an inkling of truth to that in that there's certain guys who we just say, oh, they were part of a team. But if the guy's passed a certain level of talent, we always give them all the credit for their ring. I always hated about ring culture. As someone who adopted the LeBron over Kobe argument before LeBron ever had a ring, I've been arguing against this forever. I've always hated the rings argument. Like, a ring can. LeBron's 2016 ring bolsters legacy, without a doubt. But other guys have won rings just by simply being on good rosters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't really see how anyone looks at Kevin Durant and sees him win this ring and thinks that it's a impressive feat when they were 1 minute away from winning the ring without him. I guess impressed by that, but to me that's just like I play my nephew in 2K and sometimes I let him get 20 ahead and then sometimes I lose. I do. Mm-hmm. I lose. But other times I just go, okay, I'll try now, and then I shoot ahead by 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that with the Warriors. Where's the confidence? Where's the fun there? And it doesn't help that I hated them before this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not one of those people who pretends to be nuanced on this. I think I do claim to be nuanced on it sometimes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's not fun to me.
Mm-hmm. Let's start from the NBA then. I mean,
no, I still watch it. Everyone says, don't watch it then. I still watch it.
Right.
I consider, I'm a Kings fan. Mm-hmm. I watch the Kings through and through. But if, like, my second favorite thing to do in all of sports besides watch the Kings is watch basketball. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, too. But right. I don't watch them with nearly as much passion for the most part as I do just watching the NBA. It doesn't mean as much to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been more casual with baseball. So I want, like, intrigue. And to me, the previous super teams, there was always a flaw in those teams that a team eventually got past. I guess not the Bulls. Michael Jordan retired. But in the recent future, there's always been a team that found a flaw and used it. To me, the Warriors were just trying to turn off all competition and take the E route. That's why I think it's bad for the league overall. Just, I want some intrigue come June, because I love the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I still feel there's an intrigue. I mean, look at LeBron. Look what he's done. Like,
oh, I know. I don't think, this is probably just petty.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think a player of LeBron's caliber should be able to have a performance like that, and the other team can just kind of skate to victory mm-hmm. still. Like, that should be the type of performance where, against a normal team, that should be backbreaking.
Right. Yeah, the thing is, it's like, again, LeBron had 51-8-8 in Game 1, and he nearly beat the Warriors by himself, pretty much. That's ridiculous to me.
Oh, it is, and it's going 7 against them is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But, hamstring.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really, I mean, I also don't believe that much. Like, sure, I know we get that, you know, a lot of people despise the Warriors because they, quote-unquote, locked their way into their championship because teams had injuries, but every team has had to go through injuries, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers in 88, if Isaiah Thomas didn't hurt himself in the series, like, who knows what would have happened there. And then the next year in 89, Magic got hurt, I believe Worthy hurt, and the Detroit Pistons swept in the finals. I'm always using Lakers Pistons for some reason, but 2004, Carmelo got hurt. So, there's always something. I always feel like the NBA is like a battle of attrition. This team wins.
It's more, if it's one-off, whatever, it does seem like every year there's a Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie and Kevin Love. There's a Chris Paul. Like, it's the scope of the injuries that always seem to happen against them. They're just like, come on, let the other teams have some fun once in a while.
Yeah.
This is obviously out of their control outside of the Kawhi injury. Mm-hmm. But still.
Well, it did sort of happen in 2016. Kyrie was not 100% benefits.
Yeah.
Right? So,
but then every playoff, Steph Curry has the weird thing fans do where he drops like 80 points and everyone's like, Steph's back, baby!
Right.
And he drops 3 points and, oh, he's injured.
Right.
It's like, I want this injury that's life-threatening one day and just gone the next and then back again.
Yeah. It's almost like it gets some sort of, like, pass, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think against Curry. I think Curry is great, but, like, for some reason, he seems to be, like, only there who's, like, there's the injury excuse when he does bad, but then when he drops, like, 55 points, it's like he's super healthy. It's weird.
Like, LeBron's missed, like, off the top of my head, he's probably missed 40 to 50 games in his 15-year NBA career. I might be way
off.
Half
of them are rest.
Yeah, he hasn't missed very games, but anytime he slightly limps, to this day, there's, like, a group of people who are like, oh, he's such a wuss, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. I kind of understand this mindset in, like, 2008, but what in the last decade has proven that LeBron is weak? Maybe the 2000, was the Mavericks 11?
Mm-hmm.
2011 NBA Finals, I will give everyone that one was bad. But other than that, what last decade has actually, like, fed this?
Tell that to his face. Like, I dare someone to tell an NBA player they're weak. I don't know, Mike. I can't do it.
One of the things about when you go to games live, even if you're sitting in the bloody nose section, I normally am, like, when you see a LeBron James, or when Dwight Howard was on the Magic, I'm sure he still is, like, actually, I did see him this year, but it was far away. I don't remember it as much. But you just don't realize, like, how ridiculously in shape a lot of these guys are.
Yeah.
Like, Ron Artest, when he was on the Kings, he was really good, despite some unfortunate incidents he's had with fans.
Yeah.
He was really good about, like, signing autographs before games and mingling with fans and stuff.
Yeah.
And this guy is 6'8" tall, and he's just, like, 0% just pure cut muscle. And I was like, I cannot imagine what the guy he stormed was thinking.
Yeah, I took a picture to Ron way back when he was the Lakers, and I'm 5'7". He just barfs me. Like, he is a massive human being.
Yeah, that's one thing I think we all like. Even, like, Steve Nash is 6'4" tall.
Right.
he would tower over you, but you would never think that. Like, I'm 6 feet tall, I'm tall, and a lot of people I see are not tall, tall. Mm-hmm. So I'm not used to people being 7-8 inches taller than me. I'm used to people being, like, 3 or 4 inches taller than me.
Yeah, I'd like to be next to Muggsy Bogues at one point, though. Like, he's 5'3", so I'd be taller than an NBA player. But, yeah, yeah. I just cannot fathom these guys on social media, because, of course, they're in social media, so they're behind a computer. So they can just say, oh, yeah, David wasn't a fake tough guy. I would not say David wasn't a fake tough guy. No, never. 6'9", probably said that. 260. No way. No way.
Yeah, well, I'm 6 feet tall, and I weigh more, so...
Well, I would not call you a tough guy either. You'd probably beat me. Probably beat me down, no problem.
No, no. Anyone who makes any connotation of me actually trying to be tough, they are a mistake. I'm not tough at all.
Yeah, touch that, because again, I'm a smaller human being. There's just no way I'm gonna challenge that. So, yeah. So let's talk about game one, which is again, like, sure, this is 2015 was Cavs versus Warriors part one, and then 2016. Cavs versus Warriors Lost Levels, and 2017, Cavs versus Warriors 3, and now it's Cavs versus Warriors World.
Yeah. I like the Yeah. Do you use Mario chronology for all of your life?
Gosh. See, my 30th birthday was called Ray Ray Galaxy, yeah.
Nice. I'm waiting for Paper Ray Ray.
Ray Ray Odyssey is next year. I turned 40, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah!
Wow, that's actually a good one. That sounds like a really non-depressing way to turn 40.
Yeah, exactly. Don't remind me. game one. So here's the thing: like, it was still very exciting. And again, like, we went over how LeBron just went nuts and 51-8-8. But here's the thing: like, everyone's blaming the J.R. Smith thing where he runs off the clock, and everyone's blaming him for it, but. Really? He just got the rebound. They just didn't. He didn't lose it. Do you think he lost it?
He helped lose it, but George Hill helped lose. I feel bad for JR. I made jokes about it and all that, but I feel bad. It was a human error. Like, these guys. I'm obviously guilty of forgetting these guys are just human.
Yeah,
but you know, it was an error. There were other errors on players' part, rest part, all that got them there. So it's easy to judge the lay and pretend that's the whole game,
right?
We got, like, the quintessential JR moment and JaVale McGee in one game.
It's weird, like, and then we got what? We had Nick Young making a shot over JR Smith. It's just a wild finals. Like, we got all these, rip your knuckleheads on the finals game. It's fantastic.
Jeff Green's a knucklehead, but he doesn't have a great reputation as far as winning goes. He's in there.
Yeah.
Jose Calderon is technically there.
Yeah. I forgot about him.
In spirit.
Yeah.
Is this Kendrick Perkins, like, fifth finals?
That's right! Kendrick Perkins is in that team, too! Is he on the team, or is he just, like...
He's late career Juan Howard. I think he's in his. I didn't know they ever signed him. I remembered him announcing it on Twitter, and then I never heard of it again. And I thought I heard something, but then one day I saw him on the sideline there. I'm like, oh, good for him.
I thought I read him that he was signed, like, after he announced it. I think I don't even know. Whatever. Like he's just there. So
I understand people. I make jokes about him. People make fun of him. I understand the value of a late career Juan Howard. Kendrick Perkins is the last guy on the bench because to be their support, they're not going to expect minutes. They're probably a great leader for the young guys if they have them. I completely understand as someone who got harder to play for my team this year at 3-1 and a blast doing so.
Right.
I love the veteran at the end of the bench. Yeah. And Vince Carter is an end of the bench guy still. He's amazing for. I love the value of a guy who is able to age that gracefully, especially if you're Vince Carter's status or John. And you don't let your hubris get in the way of a long NBA career. Because a lot of guys have not done that.
Yeah. And we also had an issue with Nick Collison, actually, who just retired after the... And he's...
I'm glad he never played for another team. Every offseason I had in the back of my mind, I'm like, I do not want Nick Collison to ever leave this team.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
It's rare that we get these one team guys these days. Like back then, it seemed like the norm back then. Now it's not so much anymore. It's really rare,
especially a guy who was never like at the top of that roster. It was kind of was it Jeff Foster on the Pacers? He was there for like 15 years.
Yeah, that's right. Back in the day, Nate McMillan only played for the Sonics.
Okay, I don't think I realized he was a single team guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you know, Reggie Miller did it. Tim Duncan did it.
This is what always bothers me about Hakeem Olajuwon. I understand he was old, but why did they do that? He's a rocket. Like, after 18 years, I feel like a guy should just be locked to that team. Like, he might not even need to take up a roster spot, but if someone wants to play after 18 years and they haven't left, they should just be locked in there.
It's the most
Paul Pierce, like, I know you as a Lakers fan probably do not have a rosy image of Paul Pierce, but it's so weird that he had three teams, right?
Yeah.
Three teams after being on the Celtics basically for what, 16 years?
Yeah. You know who I was hoping? Jameer Nelson. He was in the Orlando Magic forever.
And now he's played for like 18 teams.
Yeah, exactly. Who else? A couple Lakers had that. I thought Cooper was a Laker his entire run.
Do we count Kobe if he was not a Laker on draft night?
I guess so.
I've always wondered that. I don't know if any of these others fall in that category. But are you a one player team or one team player if you? Yeah. On draft night, we're wearing a different hat.
Yeah, I think Dominique nearly had that until he got traded to the Clippers. He was drafted by Utah, then Atlanta had him for like 14 years or so.
I think Dominique was one of those who had a lot of random Vince Carter tenures placed.
And then he won a ring in Europe, out of all places. Like, and then San Antonio.
I had a thought that left me for a second, but yeah, Europe, people forget that like the worst NBA players, when they go to these other leagues, they are just like Michael Jordan on steroids. Like, have you seen Jim Fredette's China number?
Yeah, I have.
I've always loved Jim. He's an easy guy to root for, even if he was a bust for my team and a terrible pick. Like, he's an easy guy to root for just because he's a good guy and, you know, I'm happy for him over there. But yeah, some of his numbers are just insane.
Do you remember Trajan Langdon from Duke?
That name sounds familiar. It's a very Duke name, but no.
Yeah, I think I forgot what team he played for. That's how far away it was. Like, they played for like a team for NBA for like 2-3 years, and then he went to Europe and just like shined there. Like, that's just how it is. Like, for some reason, he just becomes someone else in another country.
Quincy Doobie, who was on the Kings for a few years.
Quincy Doobie.
Last time I saw him, he dropped like 80 points in a European League game.
I'm sure they can do that, like, okay, because I lived in the Philippines for 6 years, and I saw American players come and go. They drop 70 like nothing, because the Filipinos are so small. So it's like, it's easy for them to just, like, dominate a game over there. Former Celtic Kevin Gamble played in the Philippines.
Whew, nice.
50 points, no problem. It's nothing over there. Yeah.
He was actually a good NBA player. He's a tragic tale, but didn't Drazen Petrovic dropped like 115 points in Europe.
I feel like that's a true story.
I'm almost positive he went like pretty far north of 100.
Yeah, I feel like it's a true story.
I wish we could watch these games. I think it'd be so fun to watch. Like, I think the Big Three is fun. I didn't watch it religiously last year. I'm gonna try to this year since they're actually showing it live. But I love watching like former NBA players tear it up.
Yeah. Did you see the one where Scalabrini beat a lot of players like one-on-one, because I think someone challenged him, like, oh, you're a scrub or whatever, and then he played one-on-one against these random guys, and he just killed them.
He's the perfect example of that, like, in the NBA, he looks like he's, for lack of a better term, the red-headed stepchild of a roster.
Yeah!
But, like, he's 7 feet tall, and he had to be super skilled to get there. And he actually was, like, a relatively skilled player, not just like a tall body.
Yeah.
You don't talk trash to an NBA player.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Exactly.
Bill Russell could probably drop 30 on us, and I don't even think he can walk right now.
Yeah, I mean, and Scalabrini has some good playoff games too, if people don't remember. I mean, that's why he got a big contract in Boston, because he dropped like, I think, 17 points in a playoff game. He was with the Nets, I believe. And, dude, he can be a good player in a given situation.
There's probably certain exceptions to this rule, but I firmly believe anyone who is in the NBA mm-hmm. has a 30-point night on them against any team right. if the situation is right.
Yeah, exactly. I try to think of like random 30. Okay, do you remember Anthony Johnson for the Pacers? It sounds like a really
yes.
Yeah. Okay, 40 points in a playoff game.
I once watched in a revenge game, 2001 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I once watched Tony Delk drop 52 points on the Kings yeah. right after he left them in person.
Yo, you watched it in person? Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I love random. Who did it? Mo Williams had a random late 52.
And you know what happened after that, right? When he went to the Cavs, he wore 52 for the Cavs. It was Man. Great, and he won a ring.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Gerald Green got 42 at one point.
Gerald Green's a fun story.
Yeah, he is. He is. I love Gerald Green.
Yeah.
I'm
happy for him that he found his NBA home. Yeah. Or not home. He's kind of a journeyman, but he found a consistent spot in the NBA. Even this year, like, he was out of the league, and he found his way back again.
Yeah. Jody Meeks dropped 42 points.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, he was at the Lakers. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was against the Thunder. Trying to remember, like, more random 50-point games. Corey Brewer scored 51 points. Corey Brewer!
Charlie Villanueva had 48 as a rookie, I believe.
Wow. I don't even remember that happening.
He was a Raptor as a rookie, right?
I want to think so, yeah. FYI, Charlie Villanueva was the first player to ever tweet me way back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah, we were talking Xbox. It's so random.
I kind of miss, like, 2009-ish.
Yeah.
NBA Twitter, because I told Shaq a mom joke, and he said, wow, good work. Because he was taking them for some sort of just fun, because... Remember how good Shaq was at Twitter at, like, 2009-ish?
Yeah.
That's an arc. That belongs in a museum. Like, he belongs next to Drill if they ever make a Twitter museum.
I remember I tweeted him randomly, say, hey, I need someone to play 3-on-3 with. Like, we need an extra person, right? And I asked Shaq if he can do it. And Shaq says, if he can shoot, pass, and slam. And if you get that reference, you're awesome.
That's one of his songs.
Yes! Yes!
I will go to bat for Rapper Shaq
uh-huh.
till the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
That is fun music.
Yeah. I have this cassette single of the Fushnikins. I'm serious.
Nice.
I have it. Yeah.
That's a Can We Rock What's Up, Doc?
Yep. Yep. I have it. I still
it's
have
great.
It with me right now. So I'll send you a
with
picture.
Class-
I'll send you a picture afterwards. I still have it. So
it has the classic line, supercalifragilistic Shakazaladosis.
Yeah. Who's the first pick? Not me. Word is born. Not a Christian Leitner. Not Alonzo Mourning. Something like that.
Which, funny story behind that, I believe both those guys were on the 2006 Heat.
They were! That's right!
I heard...
Again, what a ring! That's amazing, yeah.
And Shaq started over both of them. He put his money where his mouth is and got them paid.
Oh, man.
Christian Leitner had a long career for a guy who's known more as a college guy.
Yeah, he was an all-star once. People forget that. Like, he was actually an all-star for the Hawks, I believe.
Yeah, I remember he had a couple good years.
Yeah.
And he had a 30-for-30 just about how much people hated him.
I watched that. That was fantastic.
And it's a 30-for-30.
Yeah, I really thought that J.J. Redick was going to take over that mantle, but no one comes close to Leitner right now.
Yeah. And J.J. Redick has actually turned into a relatively likable guy.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, actually, how does he do his own podcast during the season? Isn't that kind of wrong, in a way?
It's why, I don't, people say it's great, and I don't listen to it, just, it's not out of any active attempt to not listen to it, it's just, I never listen to it, but I hear it's great.
I heard it once, and it seems great, but it had Jared Dudley on, who, by the way, was my first, I think it was my second NBA guest when I had this podcast, but, Redick and Dudley were talking about the Warriors, and I feel like this thing is wrong. Like, during the season, they were talking about the Warriors. I'm like, wow. Aren't they, like, giving away things here? I don't get it. So,
do they... Is Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson's podcast no more, or do they do that remotely?
I don't think Jefferson's done it in a while, honestly. I haven't seen it. Like, I know he was still doing it, like, 3 months ago, but after that, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he's retired and unretired, like, the last five off seasons, so.
Yeah. And didn't they, like, beg him to come back, then he got cut anyway?
Yeah. I think he got traded, like, or got traded, salary
yeah.
dump.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just think it's weird to have podcasts related to basketball during NBA season when I feel like you're potentially giving away to something. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess they're not passing themselves off as, like, journalists. They're still, you know, a lot of guys basically do that on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, they're giving their insights. I don't really, like, if anyone's going there to hear, to expect, like, Woj bombs or something, I think they're highly mistaken.
Yeah.
Now, if J.J. Redick starts dropping news on that podcast, that could be unethical. But, you know, it seems like it's pretty fun. It seems like you get some cool guests.
Yeah, I just feel like they're giving away, like, say, game plans. It's like, how do you stop the Warriors when it's like, aren't you, like, giving away plays or something? I don't know. That's just how I feel, so.
You brought back the Warriors, and you know I love talking about the Warriors.
We were talking about game one, but then, I don't know, we just happened to talk about, like, random 40-point games and Shaq's music career.
Yeah, that's a good podcast to me.
Yeah.
I'm biased because I'm the guest, but... I was thinking about this the other day, like, if you're LeBron James especially, but more NBA players in general, right. Mm-hmm. How do you think they feel about the Warriors method?
I mean, they have to feel it's unfair, right? Like, they have yeah. to. They have to. Like, there's no other way to think about that. It's like, they already have three homegrown players, and then they add, like, the second best player in the world. Like,
yeah,
how unfair is that?
Yeah, kills me. Just it seems to be just where's the glory in that? Like, they should win by existing, by sheer existence. They are going to win a game unless they just royally screw up. Every game is in their hands. And there's been other dominant teams, don't get me wrong, but it's just they don't get to, like, sit there. Did you ever see the classic film Slam Dunk Ernest?
I have not, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. It's part of the Ernest cinematic universe.
Yeah, okay.
the title didn't give that. We're starring Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, actually, as an angel. But there is a scene where he is sitting on the bench getting his nails done, and it's a throne. And then someone throws him an alley-oop, and he jumps from the bench and catches the alley-oop and dunks it in. And that's the Warriors team.
It's unprecedented because it's like... Sure, we had the Heat with Bosch, LeBron, and Wade. They're all in their prime. But this is four guys in their prime. Three guys already in their prime, and they add the second best player in the world.
And that team, you know, you take LeBron off that team, they're not contenders. Mm-hmm. You take Kevin Durant off this team, they're contenders.
They're still the champions.
73-win team. That's why people try to make precedent with the Heat, with the Celtics, which... For one thing, can we stop pretending that the Celtics were the start of super teams? That's when we started calling them super teams. But mm-hmm. we had teams with Shaq and Kobe, Shaq and Kobe, Karl Malone. We had every Celtics team before 1980, every Lakers team ever.
So, like, technically the Celtics did start it anyway, but in like 50 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't understand why people pretend that what they did in 2007, 2008, whichever offseason that was like the first time this has ever happened. And yeah. You know, the Heat might have been unprecedented in that they brought in two guys in their prime who were top-tier players, but they were still put together to beat something. They weren't put together to just make an easy road. There was a hurdle in their way. They're trying to get over it, where it's just... Kevin Durant joined that hurdle. To me, the only thing that would have been precedented is if LeBron lost to the Celtics and then joined them.
Yeah. I mean... But... We've seen that, I guess, they're still vulnerable. It's just that you just never know if Golden State actually has... They still have that switch. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They just
they're able to coast.
Yeah.
I think they're vulnerable because they can coast. And they know they can coast and with, like, 99% accuracy win once they turn it on come playoff time. Mm-hmm. And just that's what... I said that earlier, so I'm just getting repetitive now. But that's... When a guy like LeBron does 51, 8, and 8, I don't want a team that's able to just coast and still beat him. Because that was a dominant performance. That was just flat-out dominance right there. That should have been a classic performance that we're going to talk about for years. But it's yeah. not, because the other team just kind of is able to be there.
So, lesson learned. Make your free throws. We wouldn't be talking about this, right, if George Hill made his free throw, right? Probably. Yep. Probably.
Although I got 3 months of him at the beginning of the year, I would have bet everything I own, all $5, that he would have gone for two.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's just all about LeBron James at this point. Like, we can't blame George Hill and J.R. Smith too much about this. Yeah. And
shout out to Kevin Love, too, who showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gets lost. Myself included, I think Kevin Love has slowly become one of the more underrated players in the league.
Yeah, because it's like when we talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, we just say, oh, LeBron James and the rest. Yeah. And we don't
and a lot Love. Of that is due to he's been injured a lot of this year, so he hasn't been as good as he is in reality. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason even I like have put this, it's LeBron versus everyone, because even like the end of the last series, it literally was LeBron and a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
But Kevin Love, when he is healthy and on his game, I think Chris Bosh kind of got a similar, not quite as bad, but kind of a similar rep by easing into his new secondary role a little too well, where it makes rated players.
Yeah. Chris Bosh got a 3-point shot during those years. Like, yeah. He was amazing during those years.
He also had that 0-point finals, but I'm not...
Did he make some block in that same game?
He might have.
Yeah, Ray Allen 3-point shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is one of the best shots I've ever seen live.
Yeah. Remember, Kevin Love, like, he scored 51 points in a game. That's right, a 50-point game. He's actually far, so...
He was really good on Minnesota. He really was. Bad teammates.
He really was. And yet, Kurt Rambis wanted to sit him down for some reason.
And remember all those takes about how stupid the Cavs were to trade Andrew Wiggins for him?
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't... I'm not on the Andrew Wiggins is a bad player. He's still young, even after years. Mm-hmm. So I still think he can become solid, but it's not looking like a bad trade anymore.
I still think he's a good player, but yeah, you feel like he could do so much more.
Yeah, right? He's not a superstar. People's going to be a superstar, I guess.
Yeah, remember the 2014 draft when people were they're comparing like them to LeBron and Carmelo and everybody? And I was kind of like, stop it, guys.
Can we just retire that in general? Can we talk about their skill sets and just say... If you want to compare their skill set, as in he can take it to the hole like LeBron, whatever. But can we stop making guys the next so-and-so and just let them be?
Yeah, because they had such high expectations. It was him, it was Jabari Parker, and then they said Julius Randle was better than both of them. And I was kind of like, wow, okay. And then, of course, the Lakers draft Julius Randle. I'm expecting like, oh, it's going to be like the next Karl Malone, probably. Just because you guys said him that he was better than Andrew Wiggins.
This is Shea Serrano. And you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I think Ray Ray should change the name of the podcast, but he likes it, so that's what you're listening to.
Julius Randle is probably my favorite player of the Lakers' young core. I hate complimenting the Lakers with all my heart and soul, but he is probably my favorite of their entire young core, and I'm happy for whichever team takes him away from you guys.
Yeah, I pretty much think he's gone.
Are you worried as someone I think Magic and Vlade are very similar GMs for better or for worse. I do, and it's not because they're former teammates, but I think that they can make some good moves. They have good moves in them. It's not all bad, but they can also shoot themselves in the foot. Are you worried about them like letting Julius Randle go somewhere so you can sign a sort of second or third tier star, quote-unquote?
Yeah, I almost feel like they're going to let Randle get away just so they can try to sign LeBron or Paul George, and it's like they get someone like, oh, I don't know, who's a free agent this year? I don't even remember. But, if they get like a second tier or third tier, like in the realm of like Josh Smith or something.
Can I just say, and I'm not saying this as like a
person
who hates the Lakers, just as a basketball fan, I don't understand the infatuation with Paul George, even if they get LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's that much of an improvement over the young guys they have. I think I would rather get LeBron and spend that money elsewhere, or to keep Julius Randle. And that's what I worry about with Magic Johnson. I don't worry. I would love it if it happened. But if I'm trying to be objective, I worry about with Magic Johnson is he's going to try to get that Paul George just because he's a big name and make any other signing. I don't think LeBron's going to go there. I think he's going to be in his 16th year and he wants to go to a contender.
I feel like if they get Paul George, it's like they're gonna expect them to score like 25 points a game, and it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's not gonna happen.
And if they just get Paul George, I don't like that either. I would rather just develop the young guy. Paul George, he's been the face of a very good but balanced team, but I don't see him as a player who's going to push that team over. I could see then Paul George and him putting up numbers and having the same record here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we saw proof of that, right? Like Victor Oladipo? Yeah. So
Victor Oladipo, I liked his career. I'm still Team Russ in that I don't think Russell Westbrook has ever had a good NBA coach. And that's part of the reason in all my Durant hatred, I don't hate him for leaving the Thunder because I think both Billy Donovan and Scott Brooks are awful.
I made the joke once that Scott Brooks all the time just to have his players sign up for 23 more seconds.
Like, I don't, both of them, like, it's, I feel like there's been some erasure of history where people pretend that Russ was the only ISO player, where really what I hated about the Thunder when they had KD and Russ was, it was just a switch between ISO, between both of them. They never you had two absolute monsters out there, and they never properly utilized, like, how they could use that to make, you know, passes.
Kevin Durant was quoted, I think in the last year, in his tenure there, that he was asking for more ISOs, and they're already, like, the most ISO team to begin with.
Yeah.
And he was asking for more ISOs. So I found it really funny the next year when he said, I've always wanted a ball movement team. And I'm like, what? That's weird.
And that's why Russell Westbrook is worse about the ISOs, or at least it appears worse. But people have forgotten that. And I don't even know if this is either of their faults. But Kevin Durant was known for some pretty bad ISO plays himself. I mean, he was the second best player on the planet and made amazing moves. So I think we forgot. But there were also some times where they'd have the ball in the last possession where I would see Kevin Durant, like, dribble for 15 seconds, then shoot it at the buzzer with two guys on it. It'd be like, come on, dude.
The Thunder strategy was always this. Like, let Russell recap for three quarters and have Kevin Durant take over the fourth. That's always been the strategy. Like, I don't know if anyone saw. I'm sure someone saw that. I saw that. I'm sure the smart people on basketball Twitter saw that. But I'm not sure a lot of people remember that.
Yeah. I think I think it's the third time I say it. I think people are rewriting what the Thunder were like with both of them as though it was Russell Westbrook as the coach's son and Kevin Durant was on the side crying. It was bad coaching. It wasn't a, I don't think it was a Russ problem or a KD problem.
Well, people like revisionist history because, like, back in the day, they said Cavs was a favorite in 2009, 2010, and then now they're saying, like, oh, God, Cassie was terrible. Oh, shut up. You guys thought they were the favorites to win.
I was looking at the Cavs roster. Shout out to Drunas Ilgauskas, who was a very good player, but he was probably making all-star team point because of LeBron. But, like, that was such a terrible roster that he carried at 22 to the finals over a very good Pistons team. That was probably a better team than any team he beat this year.
And then they had, like, Shaq, and they had,
I have a Shaq Cavs jersey, by the way.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have a Colin Brown jersey.
I know some people are anti having jerseys of other teams. I don't think you should ever have a rival team's jersey. Mm-hmm. I will draw the line there, but if you just like a player, I've owned LeBron jerseys in the past. I've owned random. Most of my jerseys are Kings jerseys. Most of my jerseys are actually gifts from other people, but.
Right.
Yeah, if I'd get a new LeBron Cavs jersey if I liked the Cavs' current jerseys. Mm-hmm. I think people are weird about, you can never do that. Maybe you shouldn't wear another team's gear. Although my grandma bought Cleveland sweatshirt once because I like LeBron James, and my grandma bought it, so I had to wear it out of respect for the family name.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I never owned a Celtics jersey. I never owned a Dallas Cowboys jersey. I'm a Niners fan, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm worse about the Cowboys than the Celtics, really. So, because in basketball, I'm just kind of like, whatever, it's basketball, right? But football, I'm more like, oh God, I don't like the Cowboys. So
the lingering, I understand it's in the mythology and it just has to happen, but I laugh at like how heated the Lakers and Celtics can get for a team that literally had about 3 years where they ever were relevant at the same time in the last 30.
Uh-huh.
So I laugh at how much vitriol is still there. Like, I hated the Mavericks when I was 13 because the Kings and Mavericks played each other every year. I hated Dirk. Right. But I kind of grew out of that, and I know that that's nothing like Lakers Celtics, obviously. But I think it's funny how much vitriol is there for most of these people weren't even alive for when it was actually a rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, the 80s, obviously, were, they faced each other times in the 80s, and then they faced each other twice in the 2000s. But, yeah, I think it's, it's a little bit hilarious that they're still like, oh, God, I hate the Celtics, when it's like, it feels like it's far away now, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, wow, my thought got lost again. But, it's just, I understand hating the teams. Like, it's always fun to have a rival. So I understand that part. It's just, like, the pure vitriol that I see sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I guess I can't, because I still hate the Lakers. I've just kind of, I've kind of moved that to the Warriors for now, because neither of our teams are relevant, and I love hating teams. But
it goes back to fandom again, right? Like, how far would you go to hate this team, right? So, I don't know. Burning jerseys, or, you know, throwing a drink to a rival team's fan or something. I don't know. Like, it's fandom is crazy. That's all I can really say.
I always laugh, too, when there's, like, one idiot fan somewhere who, like, gets in a fight with another fan. And you see these self-important people going, oh, stay classy, Houston. I saw that a Houston fan and a Warriors fan got in a fight in Houston.
Yeah.
That's a Warriors fan going, oh, stay classy, like, that's not happening at Oracle Arena. I was at a Stevie Wonder concert in Oracle Arena, and I saw a fight break out. A Stevie Wonder concert.
Mm-hmm.
What is aggressive about a Stevie Wonder concert?
It's so weird. They can't see the big picture sometimes.
We're not, and I'm obviously guilty of painting in broad strokes. I'm human. But yeah, we don't need to paint fan bases. I say tomorrow I'll be saying every Warriors fan is immoral. But we don't need to paint these fan bases in broad strokes every time someone does something stupid.
Yeah, I try to be careful of that too. It's like, well, there's always one idiot in a fan base anyway. So
yeah. And if you are exposed to a lot of fans, which I'm sure you are, mm-hmm. with Lakers fans too, I am with Kings fans. It's usually more than one idiot.
Yeah. I can, like, even own friends. Like, I'd rather talk basketball on Twitter than anywhere else, because I have idiot friends.
Oh, same. Just
like, yeah.
Oh, if you think I'm bad on Twitter arguing, you should see me in text threads.
I mean, but at least I know that you know what you're talking about, right? There are just some out there just idiots. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it was better than LeBron, or whatever, and it's like...
Yeah, people are obtuse.
I don't want to deal with it, you know? So, yeah. So, we never have to talk about Game 1, that's fine, because it's more important to talk about, like, fan bases anyway, yeah. And random 40-point games and Shaq's music career. Favorite Shaq song before I let you go.
Favorite what?
Shaq song before I let you go.
Oh, I thought you said Shaq song, like Sacramento. I think I gotta go Can We Rock, What's Up, Doc? Okay. But No Hook with Wu-Tang Clan is a classic.
Okay. There. All right, so go ahead and publicize your social media and your work on the internet and whatever else you want to publicize.
I'm at The Real Brad G on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There's been rumors that at The Basket Bard is me, but he's just a very close friend.
I really thought it was you.
Man, why would you think that?
Just kidding, I wasn't. I see Basketball, but yeah.
Yeah, there's rumors that it's me, uh-huh. that I will not confirm or deny, uh-huh. but you should check him out.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I apologize.
Sacktown, right?
You're still there? Oh, yeah, Sacktown World. I do write there occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is it. You can find me on Twitter at the NoLook Pass. Find the podcast Twitter at Ray Ray is Fun. You can't fit Ray Ray is Fundamental on a Twitter handle. They only allow 16 characters. So download the podcast on Stitcher at RayRay.net. I think you can find the podcast on iTunes now. I don't know. They've been really, really terrible about that. Seriously, like, for months, I've been complaining to them because they took it out of iTunes because I was away for a year.
Yeah.
And then I said, hey, can you bring this back? Because I can't submit the podcast anymore for some reason. And I've been going back to their email for the last month or so, and they still haven't brought it back yet, so.
Oh, it is ridiculous how easy it is to do something. It would be easier for me if I had $5,000 for me to transfer $5,000 between bank accounts to, like, a Swedish bank account than it is to put a podcast on iTunes.
I don't get it. Easy tasks, and they can't get it done. I'm still debating. I don't know. Whatever podcast apps, I think I'm sure you can drive another podcast on Android, whatever else. So that is it. We'll see you on the next episode. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.